This is WPFP AM Park Falls, a Civic Media radio station.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey!
103.1 FM sounds like this.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. Game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star.
103.1 FM.
This week on Viewpoints.
We have seen an acceleration in the last 5 years, especially after George Floyd incident.
There's been a big push the last few years to improve diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. But where are we today? Then.
The thing is, like, we don't really have to choose. We don't have to be like, oh, I'm either going to be really fit or I'm going to have desserts and not be fit.
Cutting sugar from your diet doesn't have to be as restrictive as you may think. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
$5 won't get you much food these days, even on a value menu. Unless you're at KFC. With the new taste of KFC deals, you can get a hot, juicy drumming thigh, creamy mashed potatoes and gravy, and a flaky, buttery biscuit starting at just $4.99. Son of a bucket, that's a good deal. The new taste of KFC deals starting at just $4.99. It's finger-licking good. Prices, participation, and product offering may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
Certainly, we all want to see suicide prevention, and I'm certain that it does work to a degree. It's when I hear that all suicides are preventable that it makes me bristle, because they are not.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Jump back to the summer of 2020 following the murder of George Floyd. On May 25, 2020, a white Minneapolis police officer knelt on Floyd's neck for 9.5 minutes, eventually resulting in his death. The disturbing encounter was caught on video and soon went viral. Protests and riots erupted in Minneapolis and across the world, reigniting the Black Lives Matter movement. Tens of thousands of Americans took to the streets in protest, demanding an end to discrimination, racism, and the use of unnecessary lethal police force. During this time, many corporations and universities saw this movement as an opportunity to look inwards and improve their diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. Between 2020 and 2022, there was a big boom in funding DEI policies, training workshops, and diversity hires. Companies added on specific executive roles, like chief diversity officers, to boost this progress. However, in the past couple years, many experts have questioned the overall success and end goal of these forced policies. And these criticisms have only gotten louder after the Supreme Court's decision last summer to overturn affirmative action in universities.
The court upheld by a majority that race should not be a factor to be considered for admission in colleges. As such, there is a lot of nervousness, I will say to some extent, about what are the implications of the decision of the Supreme Court applying to colleges and now possibly being translated into the corporate sector.
That's Paola Checchi DiMiglio, the faculty chair of the Women and Minority Initiative at Harvard Law School and Harvard Kennedy School. DiMiglio is also the author of the book Diversity Dividend. She says that the Supreme Court decision has made many hiring managers feel nervous about the legal consequences of targeting specific races and ethnicities for hire. She believes these concerns are reasonable, but that doesn't mean their hands are tied when it comes to removing bias and discrimination.
Based on the data, I have seen that looking at candidates the morning from 9 to 11 have a tendency to reduce biases that can kick in. One key element is all the candidates that were seen during lunchtime were receiving lower grade overall. They were seen as less competent candidates. And the one that were seen in the afternoon were still receiving slightly higher positive review, yet we could observe biases kicking in regarding certain group being seen in the afternoon.
As the day goes on, people are also more likely to critically view candidates as decision fatigue sets in. After all, combing through hundreds of applications is no easy task, and it's difficult to have zero bias. Because of this, many experts are in favor of enlisting technologies like artificial intelligence to help reduce discrimination.
With one of the companies that we worked with, we have implemented a voice modulation, and we have seen that women and underrepresented individuals were having less discrimination from the reviewer when they were assessed toward the task that they were performing, especially in terms of coding and in terms of providing solution to the implementation of the services that the company was doing.
She touches specifically on some of the more common biases minorities typically face during the application process and job interviews.
I will say, you know, one of the most common is just your first name and last name. I think my first name and last name overall is something that will resonate with some people, but biases will easily kick in. So that's number one. Number two, where have you gone to colleges and undergrad will also create some other type of biases.
Looking at a person's resume or CV can also give a more detailed picture of their personal background. Do they come from money? What kind of community do they live in? Where have they lived before this? DiMiglio says that some of these shared details can do more harm than good during the hiring process. She says that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to these cases. Each scenario is different based on the industry, the company, and the open position. She gives an example of how an AI program can help level the playing field during the application review process.
So, for example, someone who have 20 years of work experience, where did he went to high school, college, and graduate school, matter a little bit less than someone who just came out of graduate school, generally speaking. But with this tool, we were able to leverage making sure that elements were relevant to the job and not so much to where you have come from school or, I will say, socioeconomic background that allow you to do certain type of activity.
Today, more companies are moving away from specific hiring directives that involve race and ethnicity. Instead, the focus has shifted to creating an environment that's demographically diverse. This includes factoring in differences like age, gender, education level, and socioeconomic background, among other things. DiMiglio adds there's also a push to improve overall wellness and inclusion in the workplace. More companies are prioritizing mental and physical health and want to create a space where people feel welcome. There's no doubt that there's still a lot of work to be done, but the good news is that companies are heading in the right direction. To find out more about this topic and our guest, Paola Checchi DiMiglio, head to viewpointsradio.org. Also check out her book, Diversity Dividend, available online and in select bookstores. For more behind the scenes and to support our show, follow Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, Facebook, and X. This segment was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, love a sugary treat? Us too. How to find a smart, healthy balance when Viewpoints returns.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
we can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
Why are certain providers and medical doctors not listening to family members who have lived through a disease path for such a long time?
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Ready for summer? Then check out Macy's and get what you need right now. Ready for vacation? Buy your swimsuits online and pick up in store to check the fit while you're there. Ready for the pool? Pick out the perfect towels, then pick them up curbside on your way. Last minute dinner party? Get same day delivery for outdoor hosting essentials before guests arrive. Get exactly what you need for summer just when you need it, today at Macy's. More at macys.com/free ship.
So you just used bug spray in your home. Now what? Well, between the waiting and waiting for things to dry up and keeping your family away from the mess, it hits you. You could have used Zevo. Unlike other bug sprays that stick around, Zevo goes from kill to clean in seconds. Plus, it's safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
For Alif Yamangil, food has always been a central part of her life. Growing up abroad in Turkey, meals connected her busy family together around the kitchen table, and the sweet indulgences here and there were something to look forward to. Yamangil has always had a sweet tooth, and living in Turkey, desserts such as baklava, Turkish delight, and fresh apricots and figs were commonplace. While Yamangil loved her home country, she had dreams of living abroad, so studied hard to get accepted into a top-tier program.
I did pretty well in college. I got into a PhD program at Harvard, and it came with a scholarship. So my family didn't have the means to send me to Harvard, but that way I just kind of like made it out of Turkey and ended up in this amazing Cambridge, Massachusetts environment.
Yamangil spent 7 years in Cambridge doing research and publishing papers and earned her PhD in computer science. Looking back, she remembers how being so busy at school sometimes led her to not always making the best food choices. She'd often choose convenience over her health. However, it was during that time that she became more mindful of how the bad food she ate made her feel lethargic, tired, and bloated.
I've always worked out a lot and exercised, but I don't think I ate the best. I wasn't that mindful of how much sugar makes me crash in the afternoon, how much sugar makes me really jittery first thing in the morning, etc. I think during my PhD, I didn't really have means to like do a lot of baking back then, but I started thinking more about like my diet.
After wrapping up her PhD at Harvard, she accepted an engineering role at Google, and today has her hands full juggling work, being a new mom to a toddler, and managing her growing baking blog, Plenty Sweet, which features easy-to-make, low-calorie and low-sugar desserts. Among the recipes are one bowl vegan brownies with a gooey center and melted chocolate chips on top, or easy blueberry oatmeal sheet pancakes that round out at 100 calories and 4 grams of sugar per serving.
I'm kind of a lazy baker. I will not go and shop for rare ingredients unless I really, really want to make something. It kind of annoys me a little bit when I see really tasty looking brownies, but then there's a sheet of 20 ingredients and things you have to measure really precisely, like half a teaspoon of this or tablespoon and a half of that. I just want people to have basic 1/4 cup measurement and just dump 3, 4, 5 things into a bowl, mix it, bake it. It tastes great.
All of her handcrafted recipes are under 200 calories per serving and are low in sugar, often using fruits instead of loads of added sugar to sweeten the treat. Yamangil also switches out traditional fillers for healthier alternatives like whole wheat flour, nut butters, applesauce, plain Greek yogurt, or sweet potatoes to add in more protein and fiber, keeping you fuller for longer.
We basically have a really balanced snack, like a snack that doesn't necessarily have to give us a huge insulin spike and a crash. So you can eat a cookie with your breakfast yogurt or milk and not necessarily feel really terrible at 10:30, 11 a.m. because it has all this good nutrition from the fruit and the vegetable and not so much added sugar and some fiber, some protein, some healthy fats to keep us satiated.
Yamangil isn't the only cook to take on this quest to redefine recipes and cut sugar. Jennifer Tyler Lee is an acclaimed cookbook author and recently co-authored the cookbook Half the Sugar, All the Love. She says that on average, Americans are consuming 3 times more sugar than the recommended daily limit. Common grocery items such as bread, yogurt, breakfast bars, and granola are all sneaky places where sugar can hide. Even if you check nutrition labels, it can still be confusing to understand the ingredient breakdown, especially when companies switch out granulated sugar for sugar substitutes like stevia.
Stevia is 200 to 400 times sweeter than sugar. And when you consume it, it tells the sweet center in your brain that sugar is coming. But when your blood glucose level doesn't go up with it, your body gets confused, and you may end up craving more sugar as a result of it.
And what about more natural sources like honey or syrup, which is perceived to be healthier?
Honey, maple syrup, date syrup, molasses, agave, all of those are added sugars, just like granulated sugar. So we need to be increasing fruits and vegetables. And the good part of those fruits and vegetables is the fiber that's packed inside. So there are a lot of misconceptions. So it's great that people are more aware of the problem, but we still need to educate and then give families, you know, ways to live with less sugar in a way that's sustainable.
Creating recipes that make cooking from scratch quick and easy for everyone is the end goal. Lee says that it doesn't have to be a complete lifestyle change, but it can start with something as simple as switching out your store-bought dressing for homemade.
It doesn't have to be hard. You can make that creamy poppy seed dressing with pear in your blender in 2 minutes, and that's going to make a big impact because the dressing that you'd buy from the store, that package has 18 teaspoons of added sugar inside. So make the dressing this week. Again, 2 minutes in your blender. Throw the pears in with some Dijon mustard, a little bit of white wine vinegar. That thing comes together in 2 minutes. And it's a dressing that you can use throughout the week. So it can be used for salads, but it can also be used as a marinade, and it can be used as a dip. So you've done one thing for yourself that only takes a couple of minutes, but that serves you well throughout the week.
You can still be healthy without sacrificing taste. But it's important to be selective and keep moderation in mind. Yamangil is no stranger to finding this balance. During her first pregnancy, which was full of ups and downs and hormonal changes, she gained more than 40 pounds.
I think we put a lot of pressure on people, women, to be a certain way, but I think sameness is very overrated. Like, we're all very different. And at the end of the day, you just want a happy and healthy mom, happy, healthy child. And there are very different ways to get to the same goal.
As a new mom who was also trying to get back to her normal exercise routine and diet, Yamangil became frustrated with the lack of healthy dessert options out there. Unwilling to compromise, she started tinkering with her own low-calorie, low-sugar creations.
I did lose it by sticking to my usual routine of eating as healthy as I can and basically eating sweets every day, because I do not think that sweets should necessarily be not part of a healthy diet. So I was searching the internet for just healthy recipes, and I'm always baking. And one time I made these banana bars, I want to say from the Well Plated blog, which is an amazing blog, totally an inspiration. And I made them, and they were really healthy. They're mostly sweetened with bananas and use healthy flours, healthy oil. So I put cocoa powder in there, and they came out these wonderful brownies, moist, fudgy, just slightly cakey, but not too cakey. Like, you wouldn't call them chocolate cake. They are brownies. And the cocoa powder overrides the banana taste, in my opinion. Some people said that they taste a little bit banana-ish. So I made these and I posted them on Reddit, and they went viral.
From this positive experience on Reddit, she decided to build on her hobby And that's how her blog was born.
So my friends and family started encouraging me, saying, oh, you need to start a little something, you know, you need to claim these recipes. And then I started considering taking better photos and compiling my recipes.
Today, as a full-time working mom, she's a pro at creating variations of current items to make them gluten-free or vegan, and also inventing fun new recipes.
My Sundays are taken by meal prep. I need to make lunch boxes. I need to make sure we have breakfast and lunch and dinner for the week. And if I'm going to meal prep some cookies or muffins or something like that on Sunday, I just want it to come together in like one bowl, 30 minutes, including baking time, and then I'm done and lunchbox snacks are ready.
Whether you're looking for healthier options for your family, looking to shed some winter weight, or just hoping to avoid the afternoon sugar crash, everyone has a different starting point when it comes to changing habits. Cutting sugar doesn't have to mean big, restrictive cuts and pushing your sweet tooth into exile. You just have to be more mindful of what you're putting in your body.
I love sweets. I think a diet doesn't necessarily just serve your body. It should also kind of serve your mind. And if I can't have a little something to look forward to during my days, it's just kind of not almost worth being fit for. And the great thing is, like, we don't really have to choose. We don't have to be like, oh, I'm either going to be really fit or I'm going to have desserts and not be fit.
To find out more about this topic and our guests, Alif Yamangil and Jennifer Tyler Lee, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in February 2020 and was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. More Americans are falling victim to scams. Last year, losses stemming from fraud rose more than 30% from 2021, according to the Federal Trade Commission. More than 2.4 million Americans filed fraud reports with the government, and almost $9 billion went missing. So, what's the most prevalent con out there? The FTC reports that investment fraud has more than doubled between 2021 and 2022. This happens when people are tricked into sending money that they believe will be invested into stocks, bonds, and commodities, often with the promise of hefty returns. Once the money's been sent, many of these scammers set up very real portals showing big returns. But it's all a facade. The real scam is to get people to see these big profits and send over larger sums of money. Cryptocurrency investment scams in particular have skyrocketed over the last few years, with the FTC reporting an increase of 900% between 2020 and 2023. Crypto, when compared to traditional investments, doesn't share the same government oversight, and it's much more harder to track down the criminal behind the scam because the transactions are largely anonymous. And once U.S. dollars have been converted into cryptocurrency and wired over, it's almost impossible to get back. Experts say never give money to anyone you meet online or a company advertising or messaging via social media. Many of these fake businesses now look completely legitimate and even have profiles on LinkedIn. fake media sponsors, or false celebrity endorsements. In the end, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. We're not even halfway through the year, and 2024 has already been an absolute gold rush for music fans. We have huge releases from Beyoncé, Taylor Swift, and Billie Eilish. We also have new albums from Maggie Rogers, Ariana Grande, and Dua Lipa, as well as from bands like Vampire Weekend and Bleachers. And in case you were living under a rock, millions of us online streamed along as one of the craziest rap beefs of all time unfolded between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. But with all of those new releases, what has been able to rise above the fray and become music that you'll listen to on a weekly basis? Well, for me, the album of the year so far is Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter, a tour de force of a concept album that sees Beyoncé reclaiming country sounds and mixing them up with rap, hip-hop, and classic rock in an eclectic and absolutely electric fashion. I am also an unapologetic Taylor Swift fan, so the Tortured Poets Department has been on repeat, a dreamy but vicious series of songs that will crush your soul lyrically while delivering the highest of highs on songs like Guilty as Sin, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, The Black Dog, and The Bolter. We also have an absolute banger in Hozier's Too Sweet, a potential Song of the Summer candidate with Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso, and new songs from Olivia Rodrigo, I love, Obsessed. Beyond all of that, Dominic Fike released a short little EP called 14 Minutes with some of my favorite sounds of the year on tracks like High Grace and Misses. Like I said, 2024 has been a gold rush of new music, and I still have new releases from Omar Apollo, Glass Animals, and Lana Del Rey to look forward to in the months ahead. I'm Evan Rook.
$5 won't get you much food these days, even on a value menu, unless you're at KFC. With the new taste of KFC deals, you can get a hot, juicy Drummond thigh, creamy mashed potatoes and gravy, and a flaky, buttery biscuit starting at just $4.99. Son of a bucket, that's a good deal. The new taste of KFC deals starting at just $4.99. It's finger-licking good. Prices, participation, and product offering may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
Certainly, we all want to see suicide prevention, and I'm certain that it does work to a degree. It's when I hear that all suicides are preventable that it makes me bristle, because they are not.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Shel Lustig.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, can hypnosis heal your gut issues?
There's no bell going off and clicking like a chicken. It's very different from maybe the stage hypnotherapy that you've seen at like your senior party or on a cruise ship.
But first, why aren't feminine products tested with real blood?
In order to improve the science, you have to make room for the variables, because our bodies are not going to conform. We can't bend our bodies to be the lab model.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Ready for summer? Then check out Macy's and get what you need right now. Ready for vacation? Buy your swimsuits online and pick up in store to check the fit while you're there. Ready for the pool? Pick out the perfect towels, then pick them up curbside on your way. last-minute dinner party? Get same-day delivery for outdoor hosting essentials before guests arrive. Get exactly what you need for summer just when you need it, today at Macy's. More at macys.com/free ship.
Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
Building AI systems is like having kids. You want your kids to be smarter than you are. You want your kids to be more successful than you are. And at the end of the day, you want your kids not to kill you.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
The product many of us know today as a tampon was originally used by soldiers in the American Civil War. Dr. Shara Vostrel, Assistant Dean of Research at Northwestern University School of Communication, says they'd plug it into a wound to help stop the bleeding.
It really wasn't a commercialized industrial product until the 1930s, where Earl Cleveland Haas got a patent for both the tampon that is literally tamped cotton, you know, just pounded cotton to compress it, and then the applicator.
Tampons were a technology that offered a sense of freedom for women during their periods. But as the product grew in popularity, cases of toxic shock syndrome started rising as well. It's a rare and sometimes fatal bacterial infection. So scientists around the nation worked quickly to try to find the cause, sending all of their results to the CDC.
And then the Centers for Disease Control sort of has this bird's eye view to see what's popping, right? What's happening across the country? Is this typical? Is it atypical? Is it something that rises to national significance? And as things were being reported back, there was one woman in particular named Catherine Shands, and she happened to be one of the epidemiologists there who recognized that something important was happening. Some of the other men in the office said, worry about it. This is a dead end. And she didn't. She kept it up. And it really became an important, she became an important voice within that office as the spokesperson and as the champion to kind of understand what was happening.
Two studies came out of the research. The first identified cases of TSS and how many people were injured or killed by the infection. The second paper connected these cases of TSS to women using super absorbent tampons.
Okay, great. Now we understand, or we know, there is not just a correlation, but a direct connection between super absorbent tampons and toxic shock syndrome. But how do we warn women about tampons? Well, they're not regulated. There's no test for how absorbent things are. How absorbent is a super absorbent compared to a regular, compared to a slender? There was no standardization of that at all.
And so the CDC turned to the FDA. In 1976, the FDA passed the Medical Device Amendments, which established regulations for medical devices. Moving forward, any new product would have to prove its safety and efficacy. However, some products like tampons have been grandfathered into this new rule and didn't require further testing.
They'd been on the market since the 1930s. No one presumably had died in this way. And now all of a sudden something was wrong.
That something being super absorbent tampons. But how do these products contribute to toxic shock syndrome? Well, to help understand it, we first need to dissect how a TSS infection starts, which Vostrel says is pretty complex.
In order to contract toxic shock, you first have to carry a particular kind of bacterium in your vaginal microbiome. And that bacterium is called Staphylococcus aureus. Staphylococcus aureus, it's all over your body. You can't avoid it. It's not like we can get rid of it. But some people, it lives on some people's bodies. Other people's bodies repel it. It becomes just part of your microbiome. It likes warm, moist environments. So in some people, it lives in their nose. Some it lives in their armpits. Some it lives in the vaginal canal.
The second risk factor is having never developed the antibodies that fight against the toxins that staph creates.
There's a whole sector of people, another 30% or so, who, for whatever reason, their immune system just didn't develop that antibody. Most of us do develop it, and some people don't. So if you happen to be a carrier,
and you happen to not have developed that proper immunity, those are two strikes against you. And that would mean you should not use a super absorbent tampon in particular, and probably not tampons in general. Because if you contract TSS once and then you do it again, it gets worse and worse. So it's cumulative.
The third and final component is the material that makes up the tampon you use. Before the 1970s, Bostrel says the product material hadn't strayed far from the standard cotton. But then there was a shift, and chemicals called superabsorbent polymers were introduced into feminine products. Some brands included polyester foam cubes in the tampons as well. The product design was unique in that it would expand out like a cup to catch the menstrual blood as it flowed out. Bostrel says it worked really well and became a popular product.
The flip side is if you happen to have these cofactors of the bacterium and not having the titer in your blood, then what happened was that you put this Rely tampon into the vaginal canal and the bacteria is there and the tampon brings in air. So it changes from an anaerobic environment to an aerobic environment. So from not oxygen to oxygen. And the bacterium is pretty excited about this. It can live without air, but it also does really well with oxygen. So it kind of gets excited and it starts reproducing. And then if a person pulls out the tampon and puts in a new one, that's just a whole new petri dish in some ways. And there's more air, there's more crevices for it to be and grow. And it's just this totally unfortunate set of circumstances, but that can be deadly for some women. And certainly there were hundreds, if not thousands, of women who got sick and many who did die as well.
So something had to be done. At the request of the FDA, the American Society for Testing and Materials created the Tampon Task Force in 1982. It brought together industry representatives and consumer advocates. The Boston Women's Health Book Collective was part of the consumer side and known for promoting the betterment of women's health outcomes.
And so it's everything from understanding the way birth control is working, not having to have three or four men sort of sign off on your decisions about your body for medical treatments, being able to talk back to your physician. So that was a really activist group. And part of their charge as well was safety. And so to have them, the Tampon Task Force, was really important because they provided a voice for pushing back and saying, actually, we need standards that are understandable and that make sense that women can follow.
They needed to create a testing process that could easily be replicated across the industry.
The standard has to be standardized. And this is a really important part of the story, is like, how do you do that? And industry had been using this test called the Syngyna test to see how absorbent tampons were. And it was a lab apparatus made out of a glass sort of set of tubes, and they used actually a condom on the inside to recreate the inside of the vagina. And then to recreate menstrual fluid, they also used either saline, which often was dyed blue, or they created a saline solution called blue goo that was made out of carboxymethylcellulose and salts.
The logic behind using these solutions is that they could be replicated the exact same way in any lab. But no one seemed concerned that while it met the standards for recreation, it didn't accurately represent menstrual fluid or the women who desperately needed this research. So the Boston Women's Health Book Collective brought in scientist Nancy Rehm to test tampons with real blood.
She was using heparinized blood, which doesn't clot because you need it to still flow. And she did that with these tests. And what she found was that the Syngyna test with the saline and the Syngyna test with blood, the tampons were the same order of absorbency. So whatever was the most absorbent was still the most absorbent. So most absorbent to least absorbent was the same with both tests.
Which is great news. The issue is that when tested with blood, some tampons absorb more than they did the saline solution. So the tampon you buy from the store may be much more absorbent than is shown on the box. But why is that an issue? Many people would think that it's getting a better bang for your buck. But as Vostrel mentioned earlier, the more absorbent tampons increase your risk for toxic shock syndrome. Unfortunately, the Tampon Task Force wasn't able to sway the industry into using real blood to test products, mainly because the process wouldn't be as easy to recreate in labs, which means that this testing error is still built into today's system.
Blood is different. It's not as convenient. I mean, it totally should be blood. But if you're thinking in terms of efficiency and optimization in a lab, that was the prime directive, not necessarily what happens out in the real world.
But should efficiency matter more than the product being properly tested for its main consumer?
Who is using this? I mean, that's the thing. Who is the end user? And it's not the mice. It's women, it's menstruators, it's all sorts of people in regular life who have bodies, who are walking around. And having a period is really, it's a human thing. It's ubiquitous. It happens every day. Like, this is not an outlandish thing. So there's really no other reason besides these logics of optimization at work and preference for eliminating these variables. But it totally obfuscates what's actually happening. So the science is not that good then. I mean, this is the part that's the problem. Like, in order to improve the science, you have to make room for the variables. And so you have to figure out a different way to do it. It's just because our bodies are not going to conform. We can't bend our bodies to be the lab model. We don't bleed salt.
Join us next week to meet the doctor that's reimagined the scope of female research. You can find more information about Dr. Shara Vostrel and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Coming up, everything you need to know about gut-directed hypnotherapy when Radio Health Journal returns.
So the thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it hurts to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. And only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection. All-day comfort and protection for under $5 a month. Based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer's suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes account pack.
Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
When you have lawmakers that create systematic policies that are really only set up to favor people with deep pockets, then you have the rise of corporate industry taking over.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you've ever dealt with any gut issues, you probably know how hard it is to get a concrete diagnosis. Gastrointestinal diseases are